uploading.
Blog
okay.
Talk Radio.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough, the tough get going! Look with me! Let's go! Come on!
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
That's right. And good evening, fans, and welcome to another edition of Blue Shirt Banner Radio. As always, I am Jim, and with me is my co-host, Eddie. Eddie, how are you?
I'm doing good tonight. I am going shtickless. This is serious business. Prepare for war! We have war. We have a home and home with the Philadelphia Flies. And we have to beat these guys. That rhymes. We have to win out. This is our playoffs. We all know we're going to get smeared in the first round. This is our playoffs. And after last night's game, which I saw with Jackie Lamba, which I'll get into later, it was an exciting game. I don't know. I'm not a season ticket holder, but what an exciting game last night was. The crowd was alive. So, yes, I'm doing well. How are you, my friend? I know you had a tough week.
It's been rough. For those of you, and would you believe, I really appreciate this. We have great listeners. We have great readers. And I got Facebook messages, emails, text messages, tweets. Everybody was very concerned about my situation from the other night. If you weren't listening, I had to bow out of the show about halfway through it to take care of a bank issue, some fraudulent charges on our account, and 3 days later, we are still dealing with it, still trying to get through it, but things are looking up. Here's a little public service announcement from your friends at Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Make sure you have fraud protection on your checking account. Make sure you check your account every day online. If you don't, I do these things, but I'm just letting you know. Make sure you have those things because they're very important.
Is Orman now all of a sudden? What kind of show is this?
I'm just trying. Look, it's there's a
all
human
right,
side.
All right,
to
go ahead.
I'm just trying to.
I look grumpy. All right, we're
going to fix you right up. I'm fired up tonight. So just make sure you have those things and protect yourself so that when a situation comes up, this could have been a lot worse than it's been. Luckily, we had those things in place and it's being taken care of. And thank you once again to the fine folks at Bank of America. They've been very very good with us throughout this. So we're getting ready to go. We like Eddie said, we're in a dogfight, Ranger fans. We got two games Friday and Sunday, and we need them both. There are scenarios that the Rangers can get into the playoffs without winning both of these games in regulation. You need a degree in engineering to figure them out. It's worse than the NFL wild card scenarios. I don't even want to get into them. Let's just win these two games. Let's sweep them, and let's get into the playoffs for what it's worth. It's a dogfight, and I think we're gonna have a fun weekend in hockey. Although I heard, I saw some rumors today, or I don't know if it's confirmed or not, but they'll be without Sean Avery, which I think is a big hit against the Flyers. Did you see anything about Avery? All I saw was that it was rumored that he's out for the rest of the rest of the regular season. Anyway.
Yeah, I did see that he was not even close to coming back. So it looks like he is it looks like he's definitely not going to be around for the Flyers. And I forgot where I read that, but I did read that somewhere. I feel weird talking in my normal voice. All right, let me talk like this. But yeah, apparently he's not even close, not even thinking about skating. So that could be bad.
That's a hit. Against the Flyers, I think that's a big hit. As I've said before, I don't think there's another team that he annoys as a team more than the Philadelphia Flyers. But we march on. It's a dogfight. We can't worry about those who are not with us. All right. There's one other thing I want to get out of the way before we press on. We have, as you guys know, I mean, this show is not just about, we're not just New York fans. We're not just nationwide with this show, but we are worldwide. We have heard from a few fans in Australia that listen to the show. We have heard from, fans in New Zealand that listen to the show. And we have a gentleman whose name is Chris Smith, who has been emailing us for a couple of weeks now, and he listens to the show in the United Kingdom, and he has been dying to get a shout out. He is practically begging for a shout out on the show. So Chris, I hope you're listening either live or you'll be catching us on the podcast. Yes,
Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
They're saying they're not hearing anything in a chat room.
They're not hearing anything.
What about can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I know. I want to see if they can hear me.
Uh-oh.
They say, hello, Jim, we can't hear anything.
I hear you. Mandar can hear us on the phone.
Make sure your computer isn't on mute. They're all saying...
They're on. Hello. Dave hears us. Dolan shut us down. No, it just stopped before conference call. All right. Can you guys hear us now or no? Poor Chris. Waiting for a shout-out, and then it dies. Adam from Chicago is buffering. Mandar can hear us on the phone. All right, we've established that. Are we broadcasting?
It's always something on his show.
I'll tell you. One of these days we're going to get on AM radio and just, we'll do a real show.
Is that what we're striving for?
I don't know. We have to strive for something, I guess. Hear us. Okay, I'm in. All right, sounds like everyone can hear us. All right.
Back to my stick. Frickin' Bruins just tied it, goddammit. Jesus. Anyway. Now, bad news, it comes. I'm telling you, it comes in twos. What did it say, threes?
It's threes.
All right, they've refreshed. Man, it's good. Jam-packed. I've gone back to the sticky voice because it wasn't working. I'm too low key.
Go ahead now.
Chris White, Chris Smith? What's his name,
this
guy?
Gentleman's name is Chris Smith. And like I was trying to say before, this show is not just nationwide. We are worldwide. We've had fans from Australia check in. We've had fans from New Zealand check in. And we've had Chris, who's been emailing us for a couple weeks. He listens to the show over in the United Kingdom. And he has asked that we give him a shout-out on the show. He's asked a couple of times. So, Chris, I have something special planned just for you. And here we go.
Yes, good evening, Ranger fans. This is Daniel Craig, better known as James Bond, and we would like to say hello to Chris Smith listening to Blue Shirt Banter Radio in the United Kingdom.
Wow. How'd you put
I got
that
one more. I got one more. Hold on to your hats. How about this one? Chris, I hope you're listening, buddy. You better record this one and play it for your friends.
Hello, New York Ranger fans. This is Kate Winslet from the movie Titanic. And we would like to give a shout-out to Chris Smith and all our British fans listening to Blue Shirt Banter Radio in the United Kingdom.
How about that?
On it, technology. Chris Smith. You know, I don't have a New Zealand or United Kingdom accent, which would be an English accent. But I'm going to give you a shout-out from my mouth. The mouth to your ear. Thanks for listening. We love you, Chris Smith. And persistent pays off because Jimmy did that great bit just for you.
What do you mean, bit? How do you know that wasn't really them? You mean that wasn't really James Bond and Kate Winslet?
I don't think James Bond's a real person.
Well, all right. Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig? That could have been. Who knows?
I think it sounded like him. Anyway, Governor, there's your shout out. Thanks for listening. And as Frosty would say, oh my. All right. Let's get on with the broadcast here. We've already got people on the switchboard. We'll get to you guys in just a minute. I want to start with the Buffalo game the other night because I had a question for you, Eddie. I wanted to get your thoughts on this because it got Ranger fans all upset. The Rangers are down in that game. And Tortorella pulls Henrik Lundqvist and puts in Alex Auld. What were your thoughts when he did that?
Moronic. You have the best goaltender, arguably, in the world, and you're pulling him. Now, you know, it was here, no there with the result of the game. But if I'm in the last five games going down the stretch, I'm not pulling a world-class goaltender for Alex Auld to send a message. And Lundqvist was pissed. Did you see that interview last night after the game with John Giafone, Styrofoam, or whatever that kid's name is? That little pipsqueak? He's a little kid. The guy's my age. You know, that little lackey there they got?
John Giafone?
John Giafone, exactly. This Spumoni guy's asking him the thing here, and all of a sudden it's Hank was very upset at getting pulled, and he almost, I know he was pissed at Torts. There's something to that, guys. We've been talking about it, and it's been rumored, we've been hinting about it, but all indicators are that Lundqvist and then they give you some horse dookie. You read that Tortorella says, who's Benoit Ole, the goaltender coach? Oh, well, Hall's been practicing well. What does that mean? Oh, he's game ready. It's not like I was putting a rookie in there, Fonzie says. You don't take out. I know, Henrik, the goals were a little suspect. It was 3-2, Jim. You know what I'm saying? They're still in the game. It wasn't like the Sabres came out 3-0 and blitzkrieged Henrik and he just didn't look like they needed a change of pace. 3-2! Give it a break. Yeah, I know Frosty it's soft goals. We think Alex Auld's going to come in and be a world beater? Now, I do blame a little. I was disappointed in Hank because you saw Ryan Miller. He stopped Gavrik in that game on a – what a great save. And that's what they really needed in that game was Hank to be, otherworldly. And he wasn't. But that's no reason to bring Alex Auld in. I mean, Alan Aldo, whatever you want to call that guy. But he's, you know, Alan Aldo. And then I'm hearing rumors, before the Leaf game, Torts, I think it was Ranger fans just trying to get my goat that Auld might start. If he would have started, forget about it. You would have seen a fat guy on the ice tackling Tortorella. I mean, because I was pretty close. I mean, Jackie Lombo, Jackie's a great seats, and we had a good time cheering on Hank. And I just wanted to say, Jackie, I think out of all the things that stood out, you know, sitting next to her for an entire game, and she's very, I mean, she is a screamer, ladies and gentlemen, as she told me, and told this chat room, as a matter of fact.
Oh, my.
But the thing that's The thing that stuck with me the most was every time Girardi got the puck, she yelled, "Girardi, get the puck out, you candy ass!" She said it like 18 times, but that was the funniest thing.
Nice. Candy.
It was great. Yeah, I tell you, true and true fan. And got to see Coochie Wally down there. Coochie was... He had that worried look on him, and a lot of fans worry. But anyway, to make this,
I've had that worried look since December.
Well, you remember we took that little respite when it's over, the party's over, and we all gave up. So anyway, to answer your question, no, I thought it was stupid to take Henrik out and put Auld in.
Okay. I'm going to disagree with you. I didn't have a problem with it. I really didn't. I thought the team needed a jolt. Yeah, he's an elite goaltender, but he'd given up a couple of soft goals. I didn't think they were playing very well in front of him. It had a temporary effect. It was temporary, but... You know, look, Mike Keenan used to do it all the time to Mike Richter. We saw him shuffle Glenn Healy in and out of the games all the time when he thought the team needed a break or needed a shot in the arm. I didn't really have a problem with it. If Henrik's pissed, let him be pissed. Don't give up the soft goals. What can I tell you? I didn't have a big problem with it. To me, the difference in that game, though, was when they had the 3-on-1 and Miller made that great save on Gavrik. I thought that was lights out. I really thought that was the turning. I know Buffalo was ahead when it happened, but I thought that was the turning point in the game. It took all the wind out of the Rangers' sails, and they really they never recovered from that. When Gavrik had that shot on the 3-on-1, and Miller made that fantastic save, they never recovered from that. But I didn't have a problem with them pulling Lundqvist. I really didn't.
You know what part of that game I really liked? Well, first of all, I've been promoting Tyler Myers from the get-go. And first of all, I mean, finally Sam and Micheletti have caught on that he might win Rookie of the Year. Took him 70 games. They must have gotten some kind of sheet that he's in. May win it. 6-9, but Callahan came in there and he whacked him. He just torpedoed right into the boards. And did you see the Sabres? They all came to Callahan. And, Which I gotta say, I mean, the Sabres sticking up for teammates, and there's another thing. Last night's game, which I was impressed with the Rangers. And this, listen, I get on Brandon Dubinsky because he's very streaky, and I think a lot of Ranger fans, and I know some are gonna disagree with me. I don't think Brandon's a first line player. I think he's a second line player, maybe a third line player. But he's young. And everybody will say on a good team, I think he's a third-line player. I'm going to say it right out. But he does stick up for teammates because when Gavrik got whacked, he was right there in people's faces. And you know, it wasn't a couple of years ago when Brandon Dubinsky, if he dropped the gloves, he was going to get pummeled. And now he's able to hang in there. And that Shelley Orr fight, how long was that fight? It was like 7 minutes long. I mean, you could have went to the... You could have went to the concession stand and come back. They were still throwing or holding, and there was body blows. What a fight. And then he got 17 minutes on that. Or two for the instigator, five for the fighting, and a 10-minute misconduct. I think he's trying to catch up to the penalty minute leader there. But that was exciting. That was a good fight. I mean, fight. And the Garden was energized last night, and you score, 29, 30 seconds in, Christensen. And Jim, if you guys noticed, guys, you watched that game. The Rangers were goddamn excited. They were scoring, banging the glass, jumping up against the glass, whacking his stick after they scored. Vinny, you know, when Vinny scores, he lights up. I mean, there was a lot of excitement in that Ranger game last night. And, you know, I definitely think that Christensen has solidified himself with the Ranger fans. And hopefully they won't screw anything up and bring the guy back next year. They can bring him back cheap. The guy's been looking for a home. He's been looking for a place to get his confidence back. You know, that's his biggest problem is his confidence. And the kid, he guy's got moves. I saw, I mean, all right, they took, of course the Rangers took the second period off. They slept, walked through the second period, you know. But the first period was so exciting. When they get up to that 3-0 lead, and it was funny, even going through the third, Jim, everybody there is still predicting a loss. They're going, people come up to me, oh, well, actually, I think it was Jackie said to me, she goes, didn't we blow a 5-goal lead against the Maple Leafs and lost 6-5 last year? And I'm like,
no, that was Montreal. Right.
Right.
Was that Montreal?
It might have been. I don't know. All these losses pile up in my head. And then everybody is, you know, you just, everybody's got some kind of bad luck thing's going to happen. No. But it wasn't. The Rangers came out. They played an exciting game. They took it to them. And they got, you know, Toronto was, when the Rangers got out to 3-0, it was over. Toronto was dead. They mailed it in after that. And they got some timely penalty killing, too. I thought the Rangers did well. And then your man Drury hit the post.
Yeah.
They reviewed that. That wasn't even close to being a goal. But and
Klangenstein, as I like to call it.
Klangenstein?
Klangenstein, yeah.
Yeah. And there's one thing, I we always say Chris Drury does the little things. And one thing I got to say, and this is, I know we're going to talk about the salary, but there was one power play the Rangers had, and he stood in front of that net, and he took a beating. And they were trying, but he was willing to pay the price. Now, I know everybody's going to say for his money, he better pay the price. My feeling on Drury is, his tank is empty skill-wise now, but I do think the guy has heart. I know I'm going to take – I just see it. You know, it's not like he's lollygagging out there. He just doesn't have it, I don't know, anymore. You know, I mean, I don't know. That's what I thought.
The spirit is willing and the flesh is weak is what you're trying to say?
The flesh is very weak. Wade Redden a week, who I have to say, again, did not disappoint me in being the worst defenseman I've ever seen live in my 30-plus years watching the Rangers. There was one play where a Leaf came in and then held up real quick in the Rangers zone, and then I saw Wade Redden do a complete sit and spin. He spun around in a complete circle. I was ready to hold up a card and give him a rating on his sit and spin. I was like, I was going to go 9.5. The Russian judge 7. You know, I mean, he is horrible. I still can't believe he plays on an NHL team. Bury him in the minors.
Was it like? I think you mentioned this a couple weeks ago. Was it like when Curly used to lay on the floor and run around in a circle?
Yeah, that's it. That's how he's terrible. I know. You can put him up there with some of the worst. The worst. I mean, you know, the Igor Ulanovs. The fact that he plays so much, that's even more galling. Is that he's terrible and he plays a lot. Some of these other guys weren't key components. You know, you could talk about the obscure Rangers, but God. And then all of a sudden, Anders Ericsson, without Gilroy, the Rangers look. Is Anders Ericsson, he's just a guy who fills in, he plays steady. I think there's a lot less chances around that Ranger net. Unfortunately, Fonzie doesn't realize that Boyle and Gilroy are not getting the job done until they forced it to injury. He couldn't figure that out himself or they'd still be playing. So, let me talk about this. They get called for another too many men on the ice.
Oh,
what
I know.
Is
we
going
were just going. going. That's
what is
that's
going
at least,
on over there?
I was trying to find a stat on that last night, and I couldn't find I didn't look real hard for it. It's got to be there somewhere. I was trying to find a breakdown of how many penalties, how many of each type of penalties a team takes. It's got to be between 7 and 10, maybe more than 10. It seems like almost every other night they take a too many men on the ice penalty. But I think you made a great point. They don't know who their line mates are. They don't know when the hell to jump on the ice.
Oh, yeah. First of all, yes. They don't know who the hell they're playing with from line to line. We have one line, the line, as they're calling it, the Pruss and Isimov and Mary Shelley, who I have to take to now because I was anti-Jody Shelley, but he has been playing good. That line, again, gets the most chances. I don't get it. I don't get that either. I mean, they are constantly the unit of three, I guess, the forward line figures out if you pressure the other team in their zone, they might cough up the puck and you get a cycle going. I mean, but the line changes. They need another bench coach. That's the solve. Stop with the secrecy, and then nobody else is allowed to know my secret sauce with you, Tortorella. You know, they need a bench coach just to keep the line. They need a line coach. It's like the Herm Edwards with the time management coach. You know, that's what they need. So I can't sit. And Mando's right. It's a direct result of bad coaching. Nobody knows who they're with. And come on. Every line combination's been done. Just stick with one line. So that ticked me off. Because I said, Erica, and Marcy's right. The Rangers had like an extra guy for like 3 minutes. If I noticed, I'm telling you, I'm watching the bench. I'm going, what the hell is going on here?
Oh, yeah, the Rangers run versus, but it was the TSN feed, which I absolutely love. I'd watch those guys every night, but they broke down that too many men on the ice penalty. And, I mean, they were almost laughing about it because it was so ridiculous.
It was a Chinese fire drill. That's what it was. And no offense to our fans in China who might want a shout out next week. We love you. Well, you know, it was like the Keystone Cops out there with Fonzie running the whole show. Potsy's jumping on the ice. Ralph Mouth is jumping off the ice. You don't know what's going on. Pinky Tuscadero
Jenny Piccolo.
And the Malachi brothers. Let the pigeons loose. The whole thing. The whole shebang. John Tortorella.
Oh. Jumping over the fried chicken stand.
And they won. I mean, and they win, and I'm still aggravated.
Right.
You know, but
that's the best part.
Yeah. But, so listen, I thought they played a passionate game against a team that really, if you get up on them, the Leafs were done. They've mailed it in. Then I find out today, because, I follow the game, but I'm not always hooked up, wired in or plugged in, as they say, to the draft picks. How did the Bruins get Toronto's draft pick for next year's draft? The second pick overall. At least it's going to be projected to be the second pick overall the Bruins are getting. How did that happen? What trade is that from? Did somebody plug me in?
The Kessel deal.
Oh, the Kessel deal. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
George Kessel. Oh, Phil Kessel.
The Toastmaster General. We have so many 50-year-old references on this show. It's not funny.
The Joe Franklin show.
It's amazing we have any. Monsters by Stripes, the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean,
Raymond Burr's Nipple Rouge.
So, yeah. So there were some good things. Some other things, if I may touch upon. Come on, let's give a round. Get the applause ready for Vinny Prosper, ladies and gentlemen. I've got to say, above and beyond the call of duty as a New York Ranger, he has done it. 20 goals. A guy that we heard from certain people that he's a floater and he's done and he's old and this and that. I think Vinny has been a pleasant surprise as a Ranger, and let's hope he's back next year.
There you go.
Gotta love Vinny.
All right. Let's go to the phones. I believe, first up, because that's just the way he likes it, we have John from Paramus. John, how are you?
How are you, Jim? How are you, Eddie?
Welcome to the program.
How you doing, John? How's it going?
Let's just put it this way. It's either going to be a huge celebration on Friday or get your Kleenex ready.
Well, this season has been so frustrating that I don't think I would cry. I would just be angry. Maybe that is a sort. Well, they say depression is anger turned inwards or something like that. So maybe I will cry. Who knows what I'm going to do? But, Go ahead, John. Say.
Do you remember how the season started this year?
Yes. You think it's going to end that way?
I think it's going to end that way. I really do. I said the other day they're going to win out.
Well,
I love it.
I don't have to refer. Yeah. I mean, wouldn't it be odd that the Rangers start off great, end great, and stink in the middle and make the NHL playoffs or the Eastern Conference? That just may happen.
Look at Detroit. They were how many games out of the playoffs before they finished in like the seventh seed or the fifth seed this year?
Right.
Detroit poured it on as usual, as they always do every year, and they're probably going to make a huge run again in the playoffs as the fifth seed.
Well, I like their chances. I think they've got something to prove over there from last year, losing to the Penguins. And I think they suffered from the after effect of that, I think. Plus, they started overseas, and, yeah, they got their act together now.
Exactly.
But, you're talking about the Western Conference, and I was looking at the Western Conference, and I'm like, all these teams, I go, wow, the Wild, they're not making the playoffs. They're bad. Like, Calgary not making the playoffs. What a disappointing season. I look at them, they're like a better – got more points than the Rangers.
Did you see what the eighth-place team in the West has? How many points they have, guys? 94 wins, 94 points is the eighth-place team in the West.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Being really serious.
Sad. It's sad. Five of the teams in the East wouldn't even make the playoffs in the West. That's how sad it is.
Yeah.
It happens. Happens in all sports.
What
are you going to do?
It's like that every year, though. The West is always more dominant. I don't know why.
I think it's I don't know. Maybe it's more evenly. You know, you got a lot of good teams, but you don't have the great team. Let's face it, you're the Stanley Cup winner. Well, yeah, they're Detroit. But, yeah, I don't know. And then, they were talking about today on that NHL live show, our friend of the show, EJ Raddick, was on with, what's her name, Deb Blasey Kaufman.
Oh, your
Robin
friend.
Robin Wright Penn, what's her name? Well, she was on there, and they were talking about how the West has got a lot of good teams, and they were talking about the Capitals being 16th, I think, in goals against in the league, and that the Caps would, because they give up a lot of goals, that they wouldn't, that could hurt their playoff chances, their cup chances. But then they had mentioned that the Penguins last year going into the Stanley Cup playoffs were like 15th. So it's all about scoring goals. And that's why the Rangers have been pretty bad this year, because they don't score goals. It's kind of changed a little bit. If you can put the biscuit in the basket, as they say, you got a good chance. And hopefully against the Flyers will load the nets, beating Bobby Boucher, Brian Boucher, and Kenny Layton. So, yeah. I'm going to call you Mr. Vegas, because Mr. Vegas said they were going to win out. Let's hope they win out, John, man. That would be great.
Absolutely. And remember my prediction that I said on Monday night, fellas? Remember what I said about who they'd be playing in the first round?
I don't remember Tuesday night.
Jim, write this down and don't put it near your computer because somebody might see it real fast.
Some guy in Italy will get it in 3 seconds.
Jim, write this down. Eddie, write this down. If they play the Devils, Rangers in 4.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. But I don't think they're getting the Devils in the first round.
Well, they might. Look where they are now. They might get the Devils in the first.
John, did you watch the game last night?
Yes, I did. And I actually saw the first goal 21 seconds in, which is amazing.
Yeah, well, that was great. Now, as I was leaving the building, there were a lot of people saying Voros played a really good game. And I didn't, from what I was, where my vantage point, I don't know what the hell they were talking about, but they were talking about on the boards today. Maybe Jim can tell me too. What did he do that was got the Rangers so jazzed?
It looked to me, I wasn't at the game, mind you. I gave my tickets away. I'm going on Friday. It looked like, from what I saw on the TV from MSG, he was back-checking like crazy. He was getting in people's faces every second of the time that he was on the ice. That's what I saw.
Ah, okay. Jim,
and he scored a goal.
That's correct.
And you know, I was thinking about it when he scored that goal. I could swear that's the second, at least the second or second time you've gone to a game this year, Eddie, and Voros has scored a goal.
Oh, Voros, no Moros?
That is the second time. He did it against Buffalo, Eddie.
See?
Ah, I was at that game. That's right. We were there. The F. Jochen Hecht Fest.
That's correct.
I hate that Jochen Hecht. So does John.
He's a good man, Jochen Hecht.
No, he ain't. He's dead
number
to
55.
Me.
Number 55 of the Buffalo Sabres, number 55, Jochen Hecht. almost as good as the Oli 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 Jokinen show.
Hey, lay off, Oli 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 Jokinen.
He's
I
a good man. What?
He's come back a little bit. I got to lay off him. I was bashing him a couple weeks ago. He's starting to pitch in a little bit. What do you think, Jim? You think he's been finding his way on the tally sheet? I like that.
Now Jim and Ed, I got to ask you a question since you guys are quote-unquote reporters. What did you think about...
What did you think about...
Yeah, exactly. What? Yeah, you guys are semi-reporters. I'll give you credit, all right? I'm giving you a lot of credit here.
What? Okay.
Yeah. What did you think about Torts ripping Sam Rosen the other night?
I didn't hear about that.
You didn't see it, Eddie? Did you?
No, you got to
the chat room.
You got to remember, John. I watched the game on center ice, and pretty much the minute the game's over, they cut away. They turn the feed off. So I don't get to see any of the post game stuff. So what happened?
Sam Rosen asked him bluntly, why'd you pull Henrik? He didn't want to. He blew Sam off like a dead horse. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, you know, as much as I dislike Fonzie and his human interaction skills, I mean, he really guy's a buffoon when it comes to that. I'm glad that Sam got blown off. Because he's such a corporate shill that he has to take it. He can't say, he's got to be the whipping boy and he's got no balls and he just takes it. It's just so ridiculous, you know. Mr. Communication skills fails again. And it reminds me of a time in the Stanley Cup run in 94 after a Devil game. And I actually have the clip where Sam asked a question about Doug Lister's goal in the playoff. That was Doug Lister. I don't know. Somebody's goal. I think it was Doug Lister's goal against the Devils, not the one in the Cup, but against the think it was today. And the question had previously been asked. And Keenan, you know, he's just so intense. He had those beady eyes. He looked like he was all tweaked out. And Sam goes, Mike, what did you think about Doug Lipsitz's play tonight? And he and Keenan just goes, Sam, that question's already been asked. And you guys, like, Rosen's head just went down. Like, he was so ashamed. Like, Keenan just spanked him in the post-game interview. So I didn't see the video of it. I've just heard what was said. Was Sam like that? Was he just, like, put his head down and just walked out? I mean,
I posted that thing with Torts and Sam Rosen from the other night on my Facebook. If anybody saw it, I mean, I got a lot of hits for it, also, mind you.
Oh well, there you are, Mr. YouTube. Remember Bob Page? They're talking about Bob Page in the chat room. The guy who used to do the updates for MSG.
The bullet,
right, Bob Page. Bob Page had some of the best anti-Islanders, like not a rant. You give an update, you go, the Islanders are down 4-0 at the Nassau Mausoleum where 4,000 are rattling around. He was the best. He was totally anti-Islander. I loved him. I used to sit there and crack. I was waiting for the updates. I couldn't wait for him to, like, if the Islanders were losing, Alexei Yashin is an inflated contract. Good for 15 goals on this season, a colossal waste of them. Yeah, go ahead.
And that's exactly why he doesn't work for MSG anymore.
Exactly. He was a true.
That's exactly why he doesn't work for MSG.
We got to get him on this show.
I got a good idea for a person you should get on your show, guys. I got a great idea for a person.
Okay, give it to me. Don't say Dancing Larry.
He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know who Hugh Jessamyn is. Let's put it that way, okay?
Oh, we'll get to Dancing Larry tonight. Don't worry about it.
Oh, God. I got a good one for you. Linda Cohn.
Yeah.
Unreachable.
Yeah.
What?
I would.
Non-responsive.
Really?
Yes, we have both reached out to Linda Cohn. Non-responsive. She's ESPN,
yeah.
Man. She, you know, they don't want to. Come on. She can't be bothered with us.
Yeah. No, but she's a gigantic Ranger fan.
She's gone to a boatload of games, just like you and just like myself and Eddie have. She's not a season ticket holder, but she's gone to a boatload of games in her career.
I know she's a big time Ranger fan, but you know, what a small
she's not afraid. She's not afraid to admit it either, guys.
If we could, if I met her and. You know, and use my male wares like I did on Deb Kaufman, who blew me off twice. No, I don't think it's happening, John.
Oi. Huh?
Good suggestion.
I try once in a while, and I give the good ones once in a while.
Try to get Don Murdoch for me. Me and him have been...
All right, John, we're gonna get to some other phone calls.
Have a nice night, guys. Steve
Try
Summers.
To get who? Oh, Steve Summers, Jesus.
A little smoothie action going on, fellas. Have a good night on Blue Shirt Better Radio.
Take care, Steve.
All right, John, we'll talk to you next week.
No,
we hung up.
Apparently, Blog Talk Radio is in buffering mode. For some people. So anyway, we must press on. We must go on with this show.
Here
Steve
we go
Summers,
again,
ladies and gentlemen.
Now, you know, speaking of MSG, two things. First thing is, did you see? I guess it was the Buffalo game. Did you see Ron Duguay in the intermission?
No, I don't think so.
He's wearing a white jacket and some kind of purple, just crazy shirt with all these designs on it. My wife comes in the room. I'm watching the game. She says, "Who the hell is that?" I said, "That's Ron Duguay." She says, "What the hell is he wearing?" I said he's trying to keep his pimp pants strong tonight, I think. I mean, he looked like a... That's exactly what he looked like. He looked like a pimp.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, he's so funny. And then the other thing with MSG, because you start talking about Keenan, they show that commercial with Keenan and Danico and Butch Goring about how much fun they're having together and how, like...
Oh, yeah, I see that.
All the frivolity between all of them, they're laughing and joking around. And it just looks so stupid. I mean, here's three, like, you know, guys in there, bald guys, look like they want to go take a schvitz somewhere, and they're just sitting there watching the oh, we watch the games together, we have so much fun. And then they get on TV, and it's like, well, the Rangers tonight, yeah, they need to score
exactly.
A goal. It's like...
Bald heads, no personality, you know, spewing out the Dolan Vision mantra, covering the island is boring, the Devil's boring, the Rangers
like watching,
boring.
They look like they're
covering the Penguins.
It's like watching Cocoon, you know, I'm waiting for them all to go jump in the pool with the pods.
Keenan is terrible. Keenan, he starts talking. I start dozing off.
He slurs his words.
Yeah, I mean,
have you noticed that?
Cool.
Like, I don't know if there's something wrong with him or if he's half in the bag some night, but he slurs his words a lot. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I just thought that commercial was funny. You know,
I'm
they show the guys all dancing around and having a good time, and I'm like.
That, like, they're all chatting around, like, when they have their, you know, their powwow before they go on, it's all, you know, like, you know, it's all kicks and giggles, and they're all giggly. You're right, Danny. Right, Butch. Meanwhile, they come up there, they're all, once they peer in the headlights and stone-faced and talking about how great Andy Green is. I mean, really.
Well, subsequently, tonight during the game, the Rangers just couldn't get their power play going. Let's go to Bill Pito in the studio with Ron Dugan.
He's wearing those Lisa Loeb glasses from the 90s, early 90s. He needs an acoustic guitar when he's up there. Terrible. I did like him though at once when he was on ESPN too, right? Didn't he like the NHL Tonight or something with Melrose? And did you watch any of the Frozen Four tonight? Wisconsin blew out RIT.
No, I was follow. I saw some of it on Twitter, but you know I was at work, so I didn't get to catch the game. But I'm glad to hear Wisconsin won.
Yeah,
of course we're pulling for that.
We got it.
Good.
It was a rout. And I was like, wow, this is supposed to be like one half, you know, like a semifinal game, and the other team's that bad. But anyway, I don't know why I felt, but you know, listen, I felt the need to watch the Ranger prospects.
Sure,
still,
of course.
You know, because basically that's all we have. The future is not looking good. I mean, the present is not looking good. But wait a minute. And then, you want to talk about, they're talking about announcers in the chat room. They have Gary Thorne doing it, which a lot of people like Gary Thorne. Because, you know, he would get very...
Oh, I love Gary Thorne.
You love Gary Thorne. See, like, anti-Gary. I'm anti-Gary.
Are you really?
Gary. Yeah, because he just screams and, you know, he's excited, but he really doesn't know what's going on. And you could tell he was a little rusty even calling this game. You know, maybe it's because it wasn't the pros, but he didn't, you know, it was like, 20 minutes after the guy scored, and he would give the guy's name. But,
I'll take Thorne over anybody on Versus, you know, any of their regular announcers, that's for sure.
What about Gary Thorne calling Dale Purinton Purinton? And Adam is talking about Tom Mees. Tom Mees had an unusual forehead. It was huge.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, we used to call him Egghead. And he was a hockey guy. And one time I'm listening to the radio. He was on ESPN Radio now. Oh, what's one of the guys who was who was Oberman's partner on ESPN on the Big Show? What's his name?
Dan Patrick?
Dan Patrick. Dan Patrick's on ESPN Radio, and this is like 2 years ago, and I'm listening. And I like Dan Patrick. He's pretty cool. And I'm listening, and he's talking about Tom Meese. And he goes, you know, because Tom Meese, he died in his swimming pool. He drowned.
He drowned. Yeah. And down the Jersey Shore, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Because his head was too heavy. His head weighed him down like an anchor, and he drowned. I'm only kidding. That's why he drowned. But anyway, Patrick.
I'm laughing at Mando.
He had a lead weight in his head. No. Next week, Dan Patrick. So anyway, But I just want to tell the story. Dan Patrick starts crying on the air. He starts going, damn you, Tom. Why did you do that? It was so great. I was like, what the hell? I was like, Dan Patrick's having a breakdown on the air. This is great radio. And hopefully one day I will strive to have a breakdown on this show. Probably after the second flyer.
Check in with you Monday.
Look how boy right. Stripes that he had a head like an Easter Island statue.
All right. Frosty had, I got to mention this, Frosty had two great comments in the thread. He said, I thought the Ranger recap show was the Frozen Four. That's the post of the night. But they're talking about Gary Thorne. I love that's great. he said that Gary Thorne had the great call on Messier's last goal in game six against the Devils in 94 when he said, you know, do you believe it? He said we will win tonight, and you know, so he did have that
right.
great call.
Right. Yeah.
And now they're talking about Harvey Korman and the Great Gazoo, and they were talking about my dog barking in the background. But anyway, all right, let's take another call. Kind of love this show. Dave from Blue Seat Blogs. Dave, how are you?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
Good. We didn't catch you in the middle of eating, did we?
No, not today.
Dave,
so what's
what
going
you
on?
The game last night?
I did not watch the game last night. I was at Citi Field. I kind of got free Met tickets at the last second, so I figured why not.
Okay. And
watching the Mets lose in extra innings.
I'm a Yankee fan, so I'm okay with it.
Oh, okay.
I actually heard something very interesting on the Toronto Globe and Mail podcast today. Pierre LeBrun was on talking to James Myrtle, and I am drawing a blank on the third one. And they were talking about Glenn Sather and the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much what LeBron was saying is that Glenn Sather is essentially on his way of getting phased out, that assuming the Rangers don't make the playoffs, that Glenn Sather is going to start slowly phasing the duties of general manager to Messier. It's going to be a couple-year process, and that, you know, by the time the next CBA rolls around, we're going to be Sather-free.
Yeah, but then we're going to be Messier heavy. I
don't
know.
Yeah, then it's also Messier Sather. With Sather training him.
Oh. We'll be Sather free and Messier expensive.
Yeah, and also that apparently Sather's contract is running out, and he's getting paid an ass load.
Well,
it's big money. It's big money in being a figurehead.
Well, I figured that you guys would like that.
Oh, where do you stand on the Messier being groomed? If that's what's happening,
then they will have passed over Maloney and Schoenfeld and made two stupid decisions.
Yeah, I agree on that.
Schoenfeld deserves to have the GM job.
Yeah, so do I. That I am in total agreement with. I think he's the only guy that's up in that box that has a brain in his head as far as hockey goes. I mean, I'm sure Messier, you know, he's got, you know, great on the ice, but you got to pay your dues. You know, go down
the
Hawks.
Messier can't spear anybody into giving him a deal anymore, so, you know, he's got to learn the craft. And learning from Sather isn't exactly the way we would want him to learn.
Yeah, no. You're exactly right. Plus, I want younger guy. I want a younger. Look, if they don't go with Shoney, I want them to go with a guy that's just not been around for 30 years. I mean, you know, like, you got to get somebody who knows how to deal with the cap, is cap savvy, who can put the right guys in place and get all these fossils out of here.
I mean, I can write a 75-page letter to the Dolans asking for the job. Maybe they'll give it to me.
They might. They gave it to Brian Trotcher. Just make sure you can write it.
Oh, I can write it.
You know, learning how to be a GM in today's NHL from Glenn Sather, it's like learning how to skate from Jay Wells. I mean, it's just, you know, you got to – I'm not a fan of Messier ever getting the job because I just think it's a continuation of the same – the Kremlin, the whole lockdown of information,
right,
and everything. That front office needs a makeover from the president all the way down. And Messier's not gonna do that. And that's my only beef with Schoenfeld is that, you know, if Schoenfeld was named GM, I think too many people that are stay in the same jobs in that front office. That would be my only problem with that. I think they need a complete overhaul.
Still have to keep Gordy Clark around because the way he has been handling the draft has been superb. So other than that, I have no problem with them clearing house.
And just out of curiosity, how come we never mentioned Gordy Clark's name for GM? I thought about that a few weeks ago. His name never gets mentioned.
Well, I don't think – I know that Schoenfeld is the assistant GM now. I don't think – Clark has the GM experience or the assistant GM experience. I mean, you never know, but I think that's why we never really talk about him because he's mainly the scouting guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny that we don't mention him, you know, because with it, as far as Ranger fans go, he's the only thing we got. He's a commodity. I mean, he's done wonders with this draft and the drafting. I mean, you know, I mean, it's just starting. We're just starting to see the results of it. But I mean, so far so good. You know, but I don't want to be like, I don't want to have a like if Messier stinks as a GM, right? Then I'm gonna hate him. I mean, I'm gonna fall out of love with him, and, you know, so to speak. And I don't want to have that. I just want to remember Marr for what he was. I'm going to be like, oh, buddy, sucked. Like Gretzky. Like, you know, Gretzky, greatest hockey player ever, next to Nigel Dawes. But Messier, you know, I mean, Gretzky, there's always that thing, well, guess what? He sucked as a coach. He wasn't really a good GM, you know. And, you know, there's always that, like, asterisk kind of, like that afterthought, well, he just couldn't get it done. Let a great player be a great player and go off into the sunset. Gordie Howe didn't try to take over any teams. You know, that's it. But
no, you're absolutely right. It's like a tarnishment on their legacy. You know.
Yeah. You were a great player. You don't have to achieve anything. People don't go. I mean, everybody reviews Scotty Bowman, but it's like, you know. You tell me, if Scotty Bowman does an appearance, you have, Mark Messier does appear, people keep up what you did on the ice. Just that's it. That you reach the pinnacle, as far as I'm concerned. Once you play the game at such a level and you're a leader like he was, I mean, you did the impossible. You won a Stanley Cup here in New York, and that's it. You can't get any better than that. You cannot get any better than that in hockey. So I don't see it, you know. But hey, listen, so I'm still anti-Messier on that. Yes, but I think it's good. And then Myrtle, he also had something. Did you guys see this? The top defenseman in the league, he's got some wacky calibrations that rank the top defensemen in the league. He used some stats, goals against at even strength, goals against was shorthanded. He had to play 50 games and play regularly on the penalty kill. Guess who was number one?
Mark Stahl.
Yeah. James was actually emailing me during the game last night, telling me about this story he was putting together, and he wanted to ask me some questions. He was actually asking me some questions about Redden and about his numbers, because he was actually coming up on this list originally, and we were talking back and forth about it, he said don't publish my list yet. He said, because I'm not done. He said, but I think Stahl is going to come out number one or two. And he sent me the link to the, I said, well, when you do the story, I said, make sure you send me the link so we can talk about it on Blue Shirt Banner. And he sent me the link late and I didn't get to do it. But then, Rob Luker put it up this morning on Blue Shirt Banner, and yeah, Stahl wound up coming up first. And I think the other guy on the podcast, the name we were trying to come up with is Eric Duhacek, I think, is the other guy that does the podcast with James. So yeah, it was pretty funny. James was like going back and forth with me last night and telling me, about Stahl and asking me about Redden. And I said, yeah, I said, how Redden's a +7 is one of the great mysteries of this season to Ranger fans. And he responded, yeah, I was afraid you would say something like that.
I mean, it's actually a wonder of the world. Although I think he listed the top forwards defensively, and Scott Gomez was in the top five, so I don't know about James.
Hey, we love James Myrtle.
I love James. Listen, I can't.
We love James Myrtle. Why do we love James Myrtle? Do you know why I love James Myrtle?
I know why you love James Myrtle.
Why do I love James Myrtle?
Keep it PG-13.
James Myrtle is the guy that hired me.
All right.
It's the guy that gave me my shot. So you'll never hear a bad word out of me about Myrtle. He's good. He's a good guy. He really is. He's fun.
I can't contradict your boss.
No, he's not my boss anymore.
I thought it was very interesting. I think
after Myrtle got the Leafs job for the Toronto Globe, we've had several several changes at the top in the SB Nation hockey world. But yes,
so
James was the guy that hired me.
I mean, I know the fans have been IMing me the whole show. Ed and Jim, are you going to the NHL draft? Have you talked to James Myrtle about getting us some press credentials?
Funny you should mention that, because the last email I sent to James Myrtle was, thanks for sending me the info and keeping me, in the loop on this. And I said, hope to see you at the draft. And his response was, I don't think I'll be there unless the Globe decides to send me. So I don't think he's going to be there. As far as SB Nation goes, it looks like they will be credentialing some of the managers again for the draft like they did last year. Most of the managers who went last year have already said they will not be there. I have every intention of being there. Unfortunately, puts a crimp in my situation that I believe my son is graduating high school the day before the draft. So I may be zigzagging across the country if I'm going to make it to the draft. But most of the writers that went last year aren't going to be there this year. And I think a big part of that is because it's in L.A. It's an expensive trip for a lot of people. We have to pay this out of pocket. And, it was just a lot of guys that, for teams that were on the East Coast that cover, East Coast teams were able to drive to Montreal. It was just an easier trip. So I think being in L.A. has hurt at least the SB Nation guys as far as, them being able to afford the trip. This is not a cheap place to fly to. It's not a cheap place to get around, and it's not cheap for hotels. So, but I have every intention of being there at this point.
It's a mere bag of shells.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Peanuts.
Yes.
Los Angeles is the most overrated city in America. It is. People are like, you're going to L.A.? L.A. sucks.
I absolutely despise Los Angeles. I hate it. It's just, I hate the people. I hate the traffic. I just, I see nothing appealing about it. You know, with the exception of being able to take my kids to Disneyland, to me there is nothing good about it. I was so disappointed when the NHL announced that was where the draft was going to be this year. The rumors are already circulating that next year the draft will be in Minnesota, which I think will be fun. That was where they were saying last year that it was going to be this year. It was rumored to be either Minnesota or Philadelphia. I thought Minnesota would have been kind of cool. It's a, you know, good hockey area. It would have been fun. But L.A., I just can't.
Yeah.
Last year being at the draft and being in Montreal, I mean, obviously that is, you know, that's a hockey city. And there was just such – you walk down the street and everybody's talking about hockey. And the draft picks were just walking down the street. They were in their new jerseys for whatever team had drafted them. Hockey was just everywhere. It was fantastic. It was like, you know, being in, if there was a hockey amusement park, that was it. And I mean, what's it going to be like in L.A.? Nobody gives a damn about hockey in L.A. There's going to be no buzz. No, you know, you're not going to walk down the street. Everybody's selling Kings jerseys. Montreal is just it's a fantastic city, whether you're a hockey fan or not. But there was just nothing like. It was just a terrific experience being there. For the draft, the people were excited. It's the end of June. They're still talking about hockey, and the fans were great. And this is going to be a real come down, but I'm still looking forward to going.
Yeah, it's going to be good. And I was even thinking about maybe going to that Traverse City tournament, the Prospects tournament. But I heard that area is very expensive for hotels because it's a resort. Area, yeah. I was talking to Leslie Treff about that. She goes every year. I'd like to go see the prospects play from each team, or, you know, the several teams that play. And I think that's where, as a matter of fact, that's when Leslie got hit in the head by Michael Delzato. You remember that?
Yeah.
She was supposed to be on the show, and then she got hit in the head by MDZ. And she got knocked out for like 5 months. She was out of commission. God bless her, Leslie Treff. I've got to have her back on. I want to get to the skinny on what's going on.
Yeah, we got to talk to her before the draft.
Yes. Now, we have any other phone callers? What do we got going? What's on the...
We do. Dave is still with us. Dave, anything else from you tonight?
No, that's pretty much it. I just wanted to throw that Seder thing out there.
All right, before we let you go, what do you think? They're gonna sweep these games and get in, or what?
The eternal optimist. They're sweeping. They're getting in. They're going to get the seventh seed, and they're going to beat New Jersey in six.
Wow.
There you go.
Hey.
I love it.
All right. I like to hear it. A poly positive. I love it.
Poly positive?
Like yeah, they used to say in the old days, you can be a negative Nelly or a poly positive. And you're
if it's negative Nelly, shouldn't it be positive poly?
Well, Dave, we'll work on that for next week.
All righty. Have a good night,
right,
guys.
Thanks, Dave. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
They're clamoring for the roll call. Who do we have on the line?
All right. We have two phone calls that just popped up. Why don't you go ahead and do the roll call? Because, you know, we're kind of at our peak now for the show. We're right in the middle, and, you know, we got a couple of people that'll start dropping off in a little while. You know, people got to go to bed, get up for work. So why don't you do it now while everybody's here?
I have to work my schedule around them now? I guess so. They're our lovely audience.
They are our lovely. We love our listeners.
I want to tell you something. I'm on the front lines, Jimmy. I'm meeting these people. Where are you? You're out in Phoenix having a good time over there this week.
You know what's funny is that we've got two guys. One guy's his screen name is Phoenix Ranger Fan, and another guy is AZ Ranger Fan, who are in the game thread with me just about every night for a Ranger game. And I'm really hoping that when the Rangers get in the playoffs, maybe next weekend, either Saturday, maybe Friday night or Saturday or Sunday, that the Rangers have a game. And I was thinking maybe I'll, you know, depending on my home situation, which is up in the air right now, but maybe I can get together with those guys for a playoff game and I'll buy them a couple of beers. So we'll have a little Phoenix meetup for the Ranger fans. We do exist out here. But anyway, without further ado.
Let me just say this. I have met, first of all, everybody who I meet says, what about Jim? I wish Jim was here. Because they love you, Jimmy. I'm telling you, you know, I don't tell you this enough, even off the air. You are the guy. They love you, and they want to bring you to the games. They want to go to a game with you. They always say, hi, what about Jim? He's coming in. And so I want you to know that you are so appreciated, not just by me, but by everybody. And then I'm going to segue into this where I love everybody in this chat room right now, everybody that can hear my voice. You guys have been so nice to me. You invite me into your homes, so to speak, through your internet speakers. And everybody is so cool and so funny. Everybody, I thought everybody was getting, we're going to get a couple stiffs in here, but everybody's bringing stuff to the table. And without that, furthermore schmoozing, let me get down to business. Adam from Chicago. Marcy Freeman was talking about, what? It is my kind of love Chicago.
That's a great city. It really is.
I love Chicago. The home of my favorite blues club, Kingston Mines. That place is outstanding. If you ever go to Chicago, check out that blues club, Kingston Mines. And my favorite Mexican eatery, Burritos as Big as Your Head.
We also have to mention that behind these two great men are two great women from Chicago.
That's right. You have to write I forgot about that. Adam from Chicago, who I think he's a religious man. Besides hockey being his religion, he's very religious. Now, that's all I have to say about Adam from Chicago. But, Adam, thanks for listening to us tonight. And Andrew SFL, next to Jackie Wamba. Now, he is the biggest Henrik Lundqvist fan out there. Now, Jackie Wamba was wearing a Swedish jersey yesterday, cheering on Hank. Found out. Well, I'll wait till I get to Jack. But I got a special surprise. I'm going to send Andrew his way. I've already talked to him about B23 Blue Pain. What can I say a little bit different? Jim, I mean, he's your friend. Give me something. Tell me something about B23 Blue. Well, he's a friend of ours, but you've known him for a long time. Give me a little tidbit about B23 Blue Pain.
Well, let me just say that B23 Blue Pain, I have known that man literally since I am 3 years old. Him and I have a 37-year friendship, and that is rare in this life. He's a good man. We actually, our birthdays are a day apart. He is one day older than me, and he will always be one of my best friends, and he supports the show and supports the site, and I always see him whenever I get back to Jersey. And we always have a good time. He's one of my best friends and always will be. That's about as good as I can put it.
And then you got Boyo Strike. Now everybody know Boyo was an Irishman of extraordinary magnitude. Boyo used to be a former prize fighter in the Golden Gloves. In 1999, he won the super featherweight division. City Hockey Fever. Another man. I got to tell you about City Hockey Fever. He knows his puck. He's there. He's a loyalist. He's a blue shirt fan of radio loyalist. He stands proud. He'll take on anybody that talks down this show. I don't even know about anybody who talks down this show. But listen, you talk down this show, you got City Hockey Fever to deal with. And then Coochie Wally, who I had a chance to meet yesterday. He was at the game. He was the guy I was telling you. He looked very worried. He looked befuddled. He was trying to figure out the playoff implications, and I was asking him because I know nothing. I was like, who's got this points? What's working on? What's going on? He just looked worried. I said, Coochie, don't worry about it. We're going to win this game. We're going to win it all. We're going to win out, as John Newman says. Coast of the Crazy Greek. You know what I like about this guy? He's Greek. That's what I like. We need more Greek people in this world. I like your salads. I like your
diners.
Your Diners, I like your moussaka. You ever have that moussaka, that potato dish? That's good stuff. But I'm laying off the carbs. And then, Dave,
I like the Russo.
From Blue Seat Blocks. Dave knows his puck. Dave likes Jim Schoenfeld. Dave doesn't want Mark Messier in. Dave, we love you. You're a caller. You're a good caller, and you're a constant caller. And hopefully you don't call any call girls. Eddie Johnstone, also a.k.a. Paul, let me tell you, one of the all-time greats, was talking about Eddie Johnstone. I was talking about him and Dave Hoyta having a fight. Eddie Johnstone has no love for Henry Winkler, a.k.a. Fonzie, a.k.a. Tortorella, a.k.a. Mozzarella, a.k.a. the 160-pound rat that we know as John Tortorella. Frosty, who may have been separated from Mandar at birth. We're still checking into it as we speak, but these two have more in common than, I don't know, Darius Kasparaitis and DWIs. Jack D. Lomba. Oh, what can be said about this person that actually sat through an entire hockey game with me and didn't cover her ears?
Miss September 1997.
Let me tell you, what a wonderful person this, and she is such an intense Ranger fan. She's on every play. She sits in the craziest section. And I don't mean crazy by loud. They're just nuts. Somebody was putting on SPF 50 during the game. I'm smelling coconut oil. I'm like, what's going on here? One lady's yelling at her husband, don't whistle. You look like a fool. It's just a wacky section with people who show up in the second period and leave at the beginning of the third. So that's section 220 for you fans keeping track at home. John Newman, who I have to admit, John, I've sat in Jackie's seat, so to speak, and they're much better than yours. Although I enjoy John Newman's seat because you can stand up, nobody will yell at you, and you get to sit next to John Newman. I mean, let's face it, the guy is running up to the railing, screaming his head off, and the players actually can hear. And then there's Mandar the Magnificent. If there is anybody that I look up to for hockey knowledge, and there's not many, ladies and gentlemen, because I have that big of an ego, it's Mandar. And I'm going to tell you, if there's any guy who could come up with a different angle on something, it's Mandar. And I welcome him back. I missed you, brother. I would have called you, but you really didn't mean too much for me to actually pick up the phone and call. Now, Marcy Braverman. Marvelous Marcy Braverman. You know, I had an issue with Marcy Braverman yesterday.
Wow.
It was a personal issue, not Marcy herself. When I saw Marcy, I shook her hand. I didn't know what to do. I don't know what am I supposed to say. Hi. I don't know what to do in these social circumstances. I got way, because when you first meet somebody, you shake the hand. The second time, you're shaking hands with a girl. So next time, Marcy, I'm just going to say hi. I got a lot of hang-ups. I'm working through. But Marcy Braverman was at the game. I met her fiancé, not her fiancé, but her brother's fiancé, and I met her brother. Hey, Margaret Hurley! She squeezed in here, Margaret Hurley, ladies and gentlemen. The person who, I got to say, was one of the most outspoken at the Fire Glen Sailor Rally is here. Lending her grassroots movement to dispose of Mr. Magoo, or a.k.a. Glenn Sather. And then Ranger Dude 35. Oh, let me go back to Paul for a second. Paul, Eddie Johnson has a son, Michael. This kid makes me laugh. Guess what he says to me? This is a couple months back ago. I haven't gotten around to saying. He says he saw a kid with an Ovechkin jersey, and he started laughing, and I go, why? He goes, well, me and my friends are laughing because if you put an L in front of Ovechkin, what does it say? Love chicken.
Love
That's
Chicken.
That's funny. I like it. Love Chicken. Come on. Only out of a 10-year-old. Love Chicken. I thought it was funny. Obviously, Jim doesn't. Out in Phoenix, hobnobbing with his West Coast friends, he's lost his sense of humor.
Can you hear me?
What?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I was talking a minute ago, and I didn't think you could hear me. It's okay. All right. Sorry.
Margaret Hurley, just keeping it real in the field all the time. I see you. Margaret, your husband looks like Brian Burke. I just want to tell you right out. He does like Brian Burke, which is a good thing, because I think Brian Burke's a handsome man. Not that I'm making a move on your husband, but for laugh's sake, when you see him and he's in a Ranger jersey, I go, that's Brian Burke, and everybody laughs. I have it on tape. Anyway, we got Rangers dude who, Zach, another diehard Ranger fan. Zach's story is quite interesting. He doesn't have many friends who are Ranger fans, so he has sought us out, and we are his Ranger friend family. And I embrace you, Zach, but not in a physical way, but in a mental way, because physically we'd probably just be too crazy with each other. What the hell am I doing here? All right. SRT for Johnny. Let me tell you, this guy's a tough hombre. He's 200 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal. He'll beat you to a pulp, you pencil neck geek. Remember that song by Fred Blassie, Pencil Neck Geek? And there's the anti-woot.
Blassie, Freddy Blassie.
The anti-woot. Whoopee! Yay! Yay, yay, yay! No! The anti-woot will have none of it. He will smack down any kind of ridiculous celebratory statements by people by going boo or anti-woot. So there you have it, the anti-woot. That is the roll call. Well, there's 20 minutes of the show, right?
We're great with the filler.
And guess 4984 and guess 4144, welcome to the show. Next time, sign up so you can be on the Famous Mouth roll call and hear my hungry hippo holler. Oh! Holy cow.
All right.
What is the update on this? Is it 2-1 Boston right now?
Yes, 2-1 Boston, 8 minutes left in the third period, with Buffalo on the power play.
Come on, Buffalo. Come on, Tyler Myers. Do something.
Where's the Buffalo team that played the other night?
Yeah, where's Ann Hayes? We need Ann Hayes to score.
Ann Hayes. All right, want to take some phone calls? Let's get phone calls, dude.
Yeah,
I believe this is the aforementioned Margaret Hurley. Margaret, good evening and welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Listen, I got a question from Al. Who's the woman in the little commercial, the treasure trove thing?
Oh, that's my wife.
Great. It's priceless. I love it.
Make sure you push it all the way down.
I said, listen, you got to sound like you're from, she's from Chicago. So I'm like, you got to sound like you're from Long Island. So she's doing an impression, you know. Oh, wait, you know, get it all the way down. You know, like she's great. And we were like two idiots out there in the snow filming. And the neighbors are like, what are these kooks doing? You know?
I just have to say, I love that reference to George Jessel. I'm probably the only one who knows who the hell George Jessel was. But the reason I'm calling it, you know, with me, it's always with a purpose. I think I might have said something to you at the rally, the Fiesta rally, about Messier being the heir apparent. And my take on it is it's inevitable. It's going to happen. So why fight it? Let it happen, and then the sooner it happens, and the sooner the mess is cleaned up, the sooner we can get on with whatever's going to happen after that. If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, but Margaret, I understand what you're saying. The only problem with that is that we've had 10 years of Sather. Does that mean we have to suffer through 10 years of Messier?
Well, do you think that Jimmy Boy, you know,
dead.
even you think he even gives a crap what happens? I mean, really, I mean, it's like, yeah, okay, you do what you want to do, and that's it. And it's inevitable. So either the guy comes in and he falls on his face, or maybe he does a good job, or maybe he doesn't. I mean, the odds are, like, I think personally that it would just be a continuation of the current regime with Sather in his ear making suggestions or whatever. I just see it as inevitable. That was one point. And then my other point was, do you know that Ken Danico wears jeans, a suit jacket, and jeans on that show? They all do. You think they're wearing suits, but they're not. Or they could be wearing no pants at all, but I saw him walking through the garden.
That's what I would do. That's what I would do. I'd be wearing a shirt and tie and a jacket and no pants.
Or a raincoat with cuffs. Open it, never mind.
Yeah.
I'm not wearing any pants now. Why would I wear pants on TV?
You're talking about jeans and you know, I know Margaret knows this, and I know you guys have. Do you remember the Rangers did the Sassone jeans commercial, you know?
Do I remember that? Oh,
I know.
Baby.
You don't still remember have the
that? You don't remember that?
Oh, of course I remember that, but I'm about to tell a story about it.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
I'm talking to Kotze yesterday, and I said, Kotze, I said, you know, you came in like 1 year late. You missed that whole Sassone thing, right? It goes, Mouth, let me tell you, he's like, there used to be a Sassone store, like outside the garden or around the 33rd Street. He goes, I came in, and he goes, they had that store. I took so many pairs of jeans, I just walked into the place. So apparently all the Rangers were just going there and just taking whatever they wanted. I mean, I guess they had carte blanche over there.
Yeah.
And I said, that Kotze, they made him in your size. He's a big boy. He still is.
Yeah, but he's a great guy, huh?
Go ahead.
I mean, I watched the commercial, you know, for the post game show with the, you know, Hockey Night New York with the four of them on there and everything. And,
yeah, the hockey schnitz.
Yeah, it looks like they're having a lot of fun, and it, you know, it looks like it's an enjoyable commercial to watch. I think they're funny. One night I was walking through the garden, and I commended Danico on his figure skating ability.
Oh yeah, he was on that. I wish I could get a hold of it. I wanted to see that.
Well,
that
I saw a couple
show.
Of episodes online because they showed them on like CBC. But I got it. Uh-huh. I looked up to him and I said, Danico, I said, the reason you won that night and Pretty Boy didn't was because of his footwork at the beginning of the sequence. And he looked at me and he said, what are you talking about? And I said, you know, the steps that you did with the girl that you skated with. I said, that's what when the judge is over. That was pretty good. He goes, oh, he looked at me like I said, I'm a figure skater. He goes, oh, now I know what you're talking about. He says, oh, okay, I understand. So it was, and he was wearing a suit jacket and a tie and a pair of jeans and cowboy boots. So, you know, my husband looked at him, Brian Burke. He's here with me right now. He doesn't know who Brian Burke is. I have to explain to him.
I like Brian Burke.
I understand when you took that picture, but you know, it's hard for me to relate to it because we've been married for so long that the gray white hair doesn't really, you know, it doesn't mean anything. Just like his English accent doesn't mean anything to me. But he's from London. I converted him to being
a hospital. Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's England, Ireland by way of England. He's really family's really Irish, but he's London Irish like I'm New York Irish. So we have an interesting. By hemispheral family here.
did he hear our shout outs to the fans in the UK?
No, when was
in the beginning of the show?
No. In fact, what happened was I was trying to get on and get onto that. I never did that chat room thing, so you kept going on and off and on. I was like messing around with the computer. I get some scores for you right here. Buffalo still 2-0 with like 3 minutes left to play. I mean, Boston 2-1 with about 3 minutes left to play. The Islanders 3, Pittsburgh 6 after 2, Carolina 3, Canadians 2 in the middle of third. And who gives a rat's ass about anything else? Ooh, can I say it?
Why
awesome.
Say it. That's our updater.
Yeah, and Florida 2, New Jersey 1. So, that's going to come down right to the wire, I think, too, who's going to get the first place in the Atlantic, huh?
So, people want to know, Margaret Hurley, what is going to happen. What's your take on the next two games?
Oh, jeez. You know, I'm wondering if Philadelphia's going to let the dogs out or not, how physical it's going to get. If it's going to be a physical game, they're going to have to step up right away. The way they've been playing pretty physical. To be honest, if Henrik is Henrik, then I think the Rangers have a pretty good shot of taking it. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, that's the, you know, you always say in the big games, you look at the goaltending first, and we totally outclassed
Ooh.
That.
Yeah.
Totally outclassed them.
Well,
so.
I just went off on my blog about these people who are you know, suggesting even the very mention of trading Henrik Lundqvist under any circumstance to me is a violation. It's a violation of sanity. And I just went off on people. You know, he had a bad game the other night, but the guy has played, by Sunday night, he will have played 70 of 82 games. He has a 919 save percentage right now, 2.42 goals against average. What the hell do these people want? He's got two mutts in front of him every night.
Boston scores.
Get out.
3-1.
Ah.
Yeah, 3-1.
Oh, well. Hey, you know who? Nobody said they're going to hand it to us, right? Got to work for it.
Yeah.
So, you know, but the bottom line, what do I want to happen? I don't want to give Dolan any more of my money. Why? So you can raise
tickets? Well, this is the DB Maven thing. You know, he doesn't want Dolan to get his $2 million per game. But we're fans. We're stuck with you talked about insanity. We're stuck with this insanity. Let's face it. We are stuck.
I agree. I mean, I was at the game last night, and, you know, it was fun, and you know, I've been up in my seats for 4 years as a full season subscriber. I'm up in 409 with a bunch of maniacs on the left hand side of the section, and they're great, you know. And Irv is up there, and Fuzzy's up there, and Larry's up there, you know. And you know, well, you meet all these people, and you know, you schmooze with them, and everybody knows everybody else. And you know, I want them to. I would like to see them go, you know, make the plays, because I like the kids and stuff. But, like, I turn around and one of the guys and says, so are we doing balloons tomorrow night? No, we're not doing balloons tomorrow night. And somebody said, they don't deserve balloons. And I'm like, well, true, but you know what? I just hate it that there are kids on the team. And, oh, by the way, I met Matt Gilroy last night over by the elevator.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and he's with Brian Boyle. And you know, I just walked over and I said, hey, Gilroy, I said, thanks for being such an inspiration to the kids out on Long Island. I said I was at the Islander game with a bunch of boys from St. John the Baptist Varsity Ice Hockey. I said, and it's really nice to have a guy from Long Island on the team, somebody young, somebody these kids can look up to. And they were really, you know, happy. They're really happy that you're on the team. And he goes, thank you. And, you know, I just sat down. You know, I didn't want to draw too much attention because, you know, people get all crazy, you know. And they were all over these poor kids. So, anyway, him and Boylan, holy Christ. Jeez, I gotta watch my mouth. Boyle is enormous. Holy, how do you ever see? I mean, I'd like to see his mother. She dropped 12 kids. Wow, he must have came out like a. It must have been like out of a sliding pond by the time she had him. He was.
What imagery?
I'm sorry. It's my Queens Brooklyn kind of thing coming out. He's a big boy. Holy moly, he's a big boy. Anyway. I know what you're saying, Mal. I look at the faces. You know, everybody dies hard up there. But by the same token, if something isn't done, then we're going to see the same BS year after year after year, and we're going to have Shader making the same mistakes. And I'm glad that the fellow that you had on before said that he's being phased out. Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank
God. Yeah. I can't help it. I got to root for the team. I'm kind of like, well, you know, we're stuck with these loser management guys. I might as well enjoy the hockey games. I can't, you know, I can't stay away. I'm addicted.
Yeah. But, you know, but the other thing, too, is you sit there as a full-season ticket holder. You sit there all season long, and you watch mediocrity. You're bored. And then all of a sudden they turn it on for the last 10 games of the season, you know. Too much, too little, too late. It's not just the management and the coaching. It comes down to the players themselves. As Tortorella loves to say, your best players got to be your best players. Well, your best players weren't your best players. And for what reason? You know, the other thing, too, and the Hockey Rodent, if you want to find out what the possibilities are, go over to Hockey Rodent, look at Birth Watch. It explains everything. He's got it all written out, and it comes up in percentages and everything else. But he'll do the math. But the bottom line is you're still going to watch this mediocrity, and why have people spend their money to see this stuff? And okay,
yeah,
we're getting some thrills at the end of the season, but you know what? These guys have to play. And the thing that really ticked me off, too, is Tortorella says he doesn't show them any game tapes to prepare them so they know what the opposition is coming in. What the hell is up with that?
I wasn't aware of that. You can add that to the list of things that I don't understand about Tortorella.
I mean, they're interviewing the Boston player. Hold on just a second. I'll get the reference for you. They're interviewing the Buffalo player from the other night. And
uh-huh.
He's explaining to Gino, Derek Waugh is explaining to Gino between the periods how his club watched extensive video of the Rangers and knew certain things to look for to take advantage of them. And last week, Tortorella dismissed that sort of training message as by saying, I'm not a video guy. Well, you know,
he's a radio guy.
You're not a video guy. You're not an interview guy. You're not a sticking with going with seven defensemen guy. You know, what kind of guy are you? All season long, we've been trying to figure out what this guy is doing, and you know, we've never seen anybody on the same line for more than 10 seconds. What? I just think he's.
That video quote right there. Listen. This in this day and age where you can break it all down, anything you could get, what could it hurt to use video? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't get it. Again, I'm going to say it. I don't get it. Now with this revelation that Marvin Hurley's giving me, I don't get it now. This is going to bug me for a month now.
Well, I'm not taking responsibility for that. The rodent.
Oh, no, yeah, it's all on you. It's all on your shoulders now because this guy doesn't belong. I mean, Herb Brooks would be rolling in his grave. So would Captain Video Roger Nielsen. I mean,
yeah.
It was good enough for them, but it's not good enough for Arthur Fonzarelli. He doesn't like
Chicago.
What have I done?
Adam from Chicago said that Torch uses 8-track tapes.
Please, have you got a little shot there to give them out? Because I don't want him getting overexcited. He sounds like I really put a bee in his bonnet.
I'm going to go off on this for a month. But he doesn't use me. He's not a video guy. Well, he's not a good line change guy. He doesn't get along with anybody. He doesn't get along with his players. He doesn't get along with his goalie. He doesn't get along with the press. He doesn't get along with Sam Rosen. He don't get along with nobody.
Yeah.
He is just rewriting hockey annals with his mediocre first season as the New York Rangers. He's reinventing the game, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome John Tortorella, the new inventor of hockey.
I tell you, the Fonz's work is never done.
That's right. The Fonz's work is never done. Now, speaking of Margaret, I hate to get rid of you, but we got an...
That's okay. Are you going to the game tomorrow night?
I will not be there, but I'll be watching from my mouthy couch.
Yeah, I have to bring earplugs and my iPod so I can just, like, go into my, like, a zen state, you know, because otherwise I would just have a heart attack, you know. It's just a heart attack.
Oh, no, don't get too excited.
You take care,
all
guys.
All right, Margaret.
Take care, Margaret.
Bye-bye.
Now,
bye.
Now, how many calls do we have? Because I just want to press – I wanted you to play this clip. You know – let me tell you something. I get on Stan Fischler. I take a lot of heat on these boards for getting on Fischler because they're like, oh, well, what do you predict? I may predict.
What the hell are you getting on Stan Fischler about?
I think he's a fraud. That's why. I think he's a total fraud. Now, Jim, play that clip that I uploaded where it says, like, Stan's predictions or something. I want you guys to hear this. I didn't put any effects on this. This is the raw footage of what he said in the beginning of the season. Because purposely tape this to show you what an arrogant idiot he is and how stupid he is with his outlandish predictions. Here he is.
Stan's wacky predictions?
Yes. Stan Fishface.
All right. Here we go.
All right. Takes a couple seconds to queue up.
Officially prepares to enter the netherworld of making predictions on the season. Let's start off with the Rangers. So many new faces, so many new young faces. What do you think of what they've done with this team?
Well, they're going to finish 5th out of 15 in the conference, and I call it the 10% theory, and that is John Tortorella is going to make this team 10% better. He's going to get guys like Wade Redden to play better, Roosevelt better than what we've seen, and he's got kids like Callahan. He's going to have a terrific season, and Gilroy, to me, Rookie of the Year.
Well, that's good news for Ranger fans. Meanwhile, what about the New Jersey Devils? They didn't do much, and how much does Rob Niedermeyer bring at this late date in his career?
And Niedermeyer is going to be a good third-line center. He's going to be what John Madden was. Madden was failing, he was getting old, and he's going to be a little bit bigger, a little bit tougher, and all in all, rounding out the center ice. The trick now is whether the kids are going to deliver. Of course, they dumped Brendan Shanahan because of the kids, and I think right now that's going to be the king. Key whether Bergfors plays well, that to me is the whole thing.
Jacques Lemaire is talking about offense. Can they do it?
Jacques got a bum rap. You know, they say, well, all he could do with trap. That was a lie. The Devs scored big when he was winning. I think that they're going to play a real go-go game similar to Tortorella. The trick really is, can Marty Brodeur play 70 games and play him well?
Stan thinks the Devils will finish about 6th in the Eastern Conference. Now the Islanders. Many hockey fans wonder, who is on this team? Tell us, and how good can they be?
I'm going against the grain. I predict that they're going to finish 8th. Why? Because I think these kids are going to gel. Guys like Oposo are going to mature. They got a wonderful kid now off the draft in Tavares. They got a whole bunch of good young guys. People tend to overlook that. Plus, when they were healthy last year, they went 12-9. They were a really good team, but they were never healthy for the whole season, and they got goaltending, which they didn't have last year. They're going to be the big surprise, vitality.
Whoa. Is that Rick DiPietro?
No. DiPietro is out of the picture now. You know.
Totally.
That. Yeah, well, if he comes back, it'll be a big boost, and they can make a deal. Maybe they can deal Biron. DiPietro has to show that he's healthy over a long time. He's not part of the equation now.
If this young team starts, say, I don't know, 2-8, do you still think they make the playoffs out of that hole?
Well, 2-8 doesn't mean you're done, because we saw what happened with Ottawa one a couple of seasons ago. They start off like gangbusters, and they fade. You got to give a team 2 months before you really make any decision. 2-8 doesn't mean that much.
Now, you have the Philadelphia Flyers with Ray Emery in goal, perhaps most of the time, finishing ahead of the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Boston Bruins, and the Washington Capitals. Why on earth do you think that?
Well, first of all, you don't get it. Ray Emery gets it.
Whoa. I don't get it, but now Ray Emery suddenly gets it?
No, you don't get it because you think that what happened in the past is going to be eternal. This guy was a bad apple in Ottawa. He went to Russia. He straightened out his game. He straightened out his act. He gets it now. He knows if he doesn't come through, he's finished. And I'm telling you something, he's going to be a big surprise for the Flyers. I'm right, you're wrong, until proven different.
Okay, we'll see on that one. It's a long list of players, after all, who've gone to Russia and straightened their games out. Now, Pittsburgh, Boston, Washington, what happens to them?
Well, you know, last year I picked Detroit to win the Cup, and I didn't figure in burnout, and that's what happened at the end. They went to the 7th game, and too many guys were hurt. And I think there's going to be a burnout with Pittsburgh, particularly Sid Crosby. I mean, this guy is now up to his 1 millionth interview. How many more can this guy do and not get tired, right? I think that the Penguins, a little bit cocky, and they lost 2 good guys. I mean, Scuderi on defense made the best save of the playoffs in Game 6. He doesn't make that save, and Fleury's way out of position. Who knows? I think Detroit might have won the playoffs. But they lose Scuderi. It was a big Hal Gill. This is not the same team that won the Cup.
One of the biggest trades was one that sent disgruntled Danny Heatley from Ottawa out west to the San Jose Sharks, where they had the embarrassing first-round exit. Does that fix the Sharks? Do they finally get this right?
Look, I love for the Sharks getting Heatley. Look, Heatley did not do well. He made a big mistake in Ottawa, but people make mistakes. He's with a team that he's comfortable with. This is what he wants. He knows. He's just like Emery. He knows he can't fool around anymore. He's a marked man, And I say with this team, which is really loaded when you look at it, you know, you got guys like Thornton and Marlowe, I think they're going to go to the finals, and I think they're going to play Philly.
And who wins?
Well, I'd say Philly's going to win the Cup in six games, but I hope we replay this in April or June.
And the funny thing is, if you did try to pick in June after, say, games three
All
or
right,
four...
All right, there you go. That's bad trick, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I know it went a little long, but again, it's just ridiculous that this moron, he picked the... Listen, I know you... Come on. Matt Gilroy for the Rookie of the Year? The Flyers? Give it a break. All right. Sorry it went long, Jimmy.
That's all right. It's funny. Every time, and it was the best part is at the end when he says, "I hope they play this again in April." Well, here you go, Stan. Sure. There it is.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
What the hell are you doing playing that in April? Don't call me on my. Oh, I don't know what I'm talking about. Good old Stan.
All right, bring on the callers. I'm sorry it went a little long, Jackie. But I always...
That's all right.
He needs to be accountable for his...
That's
his,
right,
his
of course. We got 15 minutes to go. If you guys want to call in, 646-478-4692. Next week's schedule, to be determined. I don't know if we'll... I don't know how we'll play it yet. We'll let you guys know. So let's bring on 516-458. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
You really don't know who this is?
Hello?
No.
Jim, it's me.
Hello. Who's
Jim?
Me?
It's Joe.
Oh, it's Joe. I
How
didn't
do you
recognize
not know
your
who this is?
Well, because, Joe, I have you programmed in my phone as Joe, and, you know, when I talk to you, I don't look at your phone number. We haven't seen you call in a while, and occasionally you call from another phone, you know, like when you run your girlfriend's phone up 3 hours on her bill. Talking on the radio, so I wasn't sure. So I didn't recognize the number. Ladies and gentlemen,
I recognize Joe's voice right away.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Al. I'm glad to know that you do. Meanwhile, Jim, who I talk to every single day, has no idea in the world who I am.
I didn't. You were also muffled when I put you on. Joe, welcome. I was just about to give you a nice, warm, you know, warm welcome to the program. Jolton Joe Fortunato. Good evening, Joe. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys?
Good. What's going on?
Well, nothing. I enjoyed the Blue Shirt Banter roll call. I kind of came into the middle of it, but the Hungry Hippo hoopla was probably one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
The Hungry Hippo holler?
Yes, the holler. Yes, that's what it was. It was incredible.
So, Joe, you're going to the game tomorrow night, right?
I am going to the game for whoever is out there who is going. I will be in Section 311. So in between periods, if you want to come down and wave, I will take note of you and give you my card. I have like 1,000 of them left, so please take them. I need to give them away.
And you will be set up in between periods signing autographs, as usual.
Yeah, no, I have my Sharpie, and I have a backup one in my shoe. So red or blue choice this time. So I know that some people are upset that I was only signing in black, but now I have red and blue as well, so let me know.
Beautiful.
So, Joe, what's your prediction on what's going to happen tomorrow, or is there any prediction? Now, maybe you can update me. Now that Boston has won, where do we sit now? What's going on? I'm all confuzzled.
That's fine. Here's how this works from this point forward. Boston now has 87 points. The Rangers have 84. Boston would have to lose out, and the Rangers would have to win out in order for them to catch Boston. If the Rangers can beat the Flyers twice in a row and hold the Flyers to 1 point, if the Rangers beat the Flyers twice in a row in overtime, the Rangers are out of the playoffs. They have to win both games. One of them has to be in regulation. It goes points, and then if you're tied in points, the next tiebreaker is wins. The Rangers do not hold wins over the Flyers. I don't know. I think they would hold wins over Boston if Boston lost out and the Rangers won their next two games.
That's just it.
So essentially, it's eighth place against the Flyers or bust. As for a prediction, I'm glad you asked because I was going to mention this before. I don't know how anyone can actually give a prediction. This has been such a Jekyll and Hyde team that my prediction is if the good Rangers come out, they will make the playoffs. If the bad, for instance, even look at it, yesterday's game against Toronto, the good Rangers, the day before against Buffalo, the horrible Rangers, and like that's on a 24-hour basis. So if the good Rangers come out, play against Flyers, I don't care how good the Flyers play, if the good Rangers come out, they're winning the game and they're making the playoffs. If the bad Rangers come out, well, see a season and then see a lottery draft pick as well.
But my thing is, oh yeah, I mean, you know, obviously the bad Rangers can come out, but if you got the great Lundqvist, there's a chance of winning the game.
Now, how many games have we seen this year where Henrik Lundqvist has kept the score to two or under and he's still taking a loss? I put up on From the Rink the other day that on a better team, Henrik Lundqvist would have ran away with the Vezina this year. I don't know what the numbers are. Jim and I were running over them before. But I think out of the last 45 games, I think like 37 or 38 of them, something crazy like that, he's given up two goals or less. And look at how many wins that's translated to. So Henrik Lundqvist can be as good as he wants. If the Rangers don't score, I remember midway through the year when the Rangers played Montreal, we lost to Montreal. I put up a headline, Montreal scores more goals than zero, Rangers lose. That's what it's like. Henrik Lundqvist, if he gives up one goal, it's as though the season is over. It really is. And it was a problem with Rennie. And, you know, you can hate Tortorella or not, but everybody loved his go-go, the ideology of his go-go system. And something's wrong internally. I mean, we've gone through two coaches now. It obviously falls somewhere else. You know where it does. You don't need me to tell you. But that's just the reality of the situation.
Well, I think the key to the success is, and this was something that was flying around the Ranger lexicon of fans, was everybody's kind of embracing this North American style that the Anisimov, Prust, and Shelley. And I was kind of, you know, I want to embrace the Marion Gaborik Euro style. First of all, Marion, we got to all tip our hats to him, because this is a guy that we never thought would go the distance. We all had pegged to play 40 games or less. He's done his best. I would love to see him just take the bulls by the horns, and Jeff Carter is supposed to play tomorrow, but him to just go out there, get the hat trick. Let's put these guys away. The Flyers aren't a good team. Obviously, if we're fighting them, I mean, let's face it, like you said, the Jekyll and Hyde. I saw, you know, it was Jekyll, you know, it was Dr. Jekyll for the beginning of the season. It's been Jekyll towards the end. It was Mr. Hyde for the whole rest of the season. I feel bad for you season ticket holders. There were so many stiff games this year you guys ought to watch. So you're right. The good, the bad Rangers, I would just love to see Gaborik come out and just come on. He's the best player on the ice, and I wanted to see him just run roughshod. So yeah, it's tough to make predictions with this team because they're not a very good team. I mean, and you know.
Well, I was just going to comment on your Gaborik statement. In the beginning of the year, Jim did some research on John Tortorella, and I did some research on Marion Gaborik, and we put it together for a preview story. Look, everybody hates the New York Rangers. If you're not a Rangers fan, you hate the Rangers. And people love to speculate. And people saying that Marion Gaborik was going to be injured this year are general, you know, your general knowledge hockey or even sports fan that really doesn't know what they're talking about. The main reason for Gaborik's injuries, and Jim and I put this up at the beginning of the year, you can go back and you can archive it. You can look at it on the website. A, Jim found out that John Tortorella's preseason warm-up, this hell camp he put them through, actually decreases groin injuries for his NHL teams. I think they lost, what was it, Jim, like 9 games in total?
Yeah,
in his
it was something like, I'd have to go back and look at the story, but it was just a ridiculously low number. It was like 9 games over his 3 seasons or whatever it was in Tampa lost to groin injuries. I mean, it was just... it was an incredible number, and that is, if there is one thing that, you know, that has been a positive all season long, what? You're laughing. What?
I'm laughing because the line I would use is that John Tortorella knows how to take care of the groin.
That's right. you know, I mean, the one thing that's been positive for them all season is that they haven't lost a lot of guys to injury. And they threw a stat up last night on TSN. I don't know if you guys had seen this elsewhere, but they put up a stat that I want to say the Rangers were like 9-2 this season on second nights of back-to-back games. So that does say something for their conditioning as well. So, I mean, there is something positive to take out of this, out of, you know, all the negatives that we have on Tortorella. But at least there are a few positives, and that's one of them. We only got about 5 minutes to go. I want to bring Mandar in real quick before we wrap up the show. Welcome him back to the program after an extended hiatus. Mandar, good evening.
Good evening, gentlemen.
How are you?
Great to hear.
Oh, just fine and dandy. How's everything going?
We're well.
Good. I was at the game last night with Jackie Lamba. I had a good time.
Jackie Lamba and the Mouth in the same section in Madison Square Garden. It's like you don't need any other fans in the place. You could just use the two of you guys to keep the crowd going the entire game.
It's funny you should say that. That there was actually people who moved because I was too loud.
Now you know that the Garden has changed if that's the case.
Yeah, I know. They used to embrace it.
Really?
Like, the guy would try to out-scream you. But then again, I was in the 200, so, you know.
With the suit.
Like, oh my God, this man is so loud. But you know,
I'll tell you guys.
So, what are you thinking? What's your prognosis? Your diagnosis? Break it down for us, Manda.
It's simple, really. I mean, you got. I think it's been said before, the game is going to be decided in the first period tomorrow. Again, it depends on how they come out. They come out like they did against Buffalo, there's going to be an issue. They come out like they did against Toronto, they'll come out on top. And it's not a fact that just Toronto's a worse team than Buffalo, but if the Rangers came out against Buffalo like they did against Toronto, then it would have been a different story. You got to set the tone. They're playing at home first. That is such a huge advantage, or it should be anyway, because you get the home crowd behind you, you got momentum, you got the Flyers knowing that they've got to, you know, just sit back and try not to lose, where the Rangers have to play to win. And so if there is ever a time where they can muster any kind of an emotional game to play for a full 60 minutes, it's this one. And it's in the first period, you set the tone. You don't even have to score the goals, but you have to dictate the play. You got to hit everything that moves like they did in the first 10 minutes of the game yesterday and set the tone. And like you guys have been saying, the battle between the goaltenders, it's a no battle. But you got to be getting guys to the net and play the way they can. I think the Rangers win tomorrow, and I just got a bad feeling about Philly on Sunday.
Now he's got me worried. He's got a bad feeling all of a sudden.
Well, I do, because I think that they,
you know,
it's hard for them to put back-to-back together like that for some reason.
A 9-2.
But that's on back-to-back nights. They're going to have that dreaded day off on Saturday.
Oh.
You know, the problem is that the way this season has gone is that would be the perfect or imperfect
right.
ending is for them to win tomorrow. Get you all hyped up. You know, they win like 5-1 tomorrow night and then come out and lose 1-0 on Sunday.
And it's not even that. Maybe it's not even a loss. Maybe it's like they have to go to overtime where the Flyers get a point, and so the Rangers can't go ahead of them.
See, but here's where I'm going to disagree with all of you, and allow me 2 seconds to spin a quick tale. When I went to the playoffs when the Rangers played Atlanta a couple of years ago, the Garden, it was the first real, we were up 2-0, and it was the first real emotional playoff game that the Garden had seen since the lockout, because obviously there was nothing when it came to the Devils, and the place is going crazy, and I looked at my dad, and I said, you know, how do you think Atlanta feels right now? And he said to me, there is no team more nervous than the Rangers are, and we play that way at home. The first 10 minutes is going to be very jittery, because the Garden crowd backs the boys up, they get them geared. But we've seen the Rangers all season fall into holes in the first period, not even going down 1-0 or 2-0, but simply coming out a little flat, letting the other team get on top of them, and then it's like the whole weight of the world comes crushing down on the New York Rangers. We are not a good home team this year.
for whatever the reasons are behind it or not, we are a much better road team. I would be much more confident starting in Philadelphia than finishing in Philadelphia. I really would be, because I have the feeling that tomorrow will be a letdown game. We've seen it so many times at Madison Square Garden. I don't know what their comfort level is at MSG. I just don't, but it's not there.
Hang on one second. Real quick, we got about 15 seconds left of the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we just want to wish Keith Kachuk and Mike Modano well as they enter into their retirement. And we'll let you guys know when we're going to be on next. Take care, everybody. Let's go, Rangers. All right. Sorry about that. We ran into the last minute a little too quick. Anyway, go ahead, Joe. Finish your thought.
And, you know, just the fact of the matter is that, A, we're not a good team at home, like I said. And, B, we are going to be so nervous tomorrow. The Rangers really will be. And if, God forbid, they go down 1-0 early or even in the first period, because we, for whatever reason, we are the most inept. Like, when we pinch offensively, it's like we go into complete panic mode in the defensive zone. The things that have to, for me, I'm much more worried about tomorrow than I am about Philadelphia. I think if we win tomorrow, even if it's not convincing, we're going to have no problem taking Philadelphia at Philadelphia, because then they know they're going to be on the brink and their fans are going to be crapping their pants. That's not something I want to deal with, and we're going to go through it tomorrow.
First goal is going to be so important. To me, that's going to be the key. Whether it's a good goal, bad goal, first goal and special teams will be deciding what happens tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right. I think it's going to be like saying something really, you know, a revelation here by saying that this really is our playoffs. Because it really is our playoffs. Because, you know, we're going to get spanked as soon as we make it. But, you know, it's funny. Joe, I just think, yes, I agree with everything. The Rangers have been hard at home. I just don't want... Sometimes as fans, we put our own, like, I'm scared. So I'm thinking the Rangers are going to be scared. And, you know, the Rangers have been on a pretty good roll here. I mean, and they came out against Toronto. And, you know, they haven't been on a roll. They were only on a roll twice, as far as I'm concerned. We're in the middle of the second one. And if they could come out and they could get, you know, Erik Christensen, that line is playing good, and they're... The Flyers go to, they got to be nervous too. They were in the playoff picture the whole year. I was getting all the hate mail from the Flyer fans. Yeah, you're not going to make the playoffs, you loser. All the stuff. And now, all of a sudden, they might not make it. Maybe they crack. And who the hell they have that I got to be worried about? You know?
The other thing that needs to be understood here is that this is no longer just about missing the playoffs. It's not. It's the fact of the matter that they are now too good to be in on the lottery pick, which means that we're probably, if we were to miss the playoffs, going to get a pick in maybe 10, 11, 12th spot and completely miss out on some of the better picks in the draft. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, everybody hopped on Nick for his statement and about being real fans and whatnot. And I know that a lot of people here might still be thinking, maybe it's better for the New York Rangers to miss the playoffs. But right now, today, in April, it's the 8th, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. April 8th, it is in the Rangers' best interest to make the playoffs, because, the difference between a 12th overall pick and an 18th overall pick, if the Rangers were to lose in the first round in a draft like this, really could be inconsequential. The Rangers are not getting a lottery pick. They're no longer in the lottery. They're not going to get a top five pick, even if they lose out. They aren't even going to get, it would be a miracle if they got a top 10 pick, even if they lose out. So right now, today, it is in the Rangers' best interest to make the playoffs from a bunch of different standpoints. A week and a half ago, I would have understood people wanting the Rangers to lose out to go for a draft pick. I would have understood that. But right now, it doesn't make any sense from any angle. No, nothing's going to change. Dolan doesn't need the Rangers to make the playoffs to make money. That's extra money in his pocket. It's not like people are referring to it as the Rangers don't make the playoffs. The Rangers are losing money. They're not losing anything. The playoffs aren't in the budget. They're not spending money they don't have. It's just money that they end up not getting, which is upsetting, but it's the Dolan. They don't care. They can shell out $39 million on Redden. They can easily take a couple of million dollars away from a playoff run. So right now, today, it is in the Rangers' best interest to make the playoffs. I don't see how it helps if they miss right now. I could have seen it a week ago, not today.
There was a really good article in the New York Times today about what missing the playoffs means to the Rangers and the Garden. It was pretty interesting. Talks about, you know, just how much money they make on a nightly basis, you know, when there's a game, and it talks about, you know, breaks down what the average fan spends at a game, you know, and how much of the concessions, any cup of beer the Rangers sell or a hot dog, the Rangers make all that money. But you know, like T-shirts and stuff, they only make a small percentage because they got to pay the NHL. So it really was an interesting breakdown of the money that's involved in not having playoff games. And you know, the Garden, you know, they have to leave these days open for the NHL playoffs, and then if the Rangers don't make it, it's too late to book anything else, so the Garden just sits empty. So it was pretty interesting the way the article broke it down.
Yeah, I mean, it's also, you know, it's tough to predict. You know, a lot, you know, I was asking the callers because I think everybody has like a feeling, you know, it's kind of a question. You know, I just like to get everybody's feeling. I mean, it's hard to predict what is going to actually happen. I mean, you know, these teams are, you know, and again, with the Rangers, they're unpredictable. But I just, now that you put that scenario, the Mandar scenario is now playing on a loop in my head.
And that's what I
hear. That scenario is the most heartbreaking, so that's the one now I'm taking to heart.
Exactly.
I would feel a lot better about these games if Avery was playing.
Yeah.
Okay, but you know what? You know what the difference is too, that they have a physical line, a fourth line that can match up to the Flyers' physicality, which is something that they haven't had before when they've matched up against the Flyers. And the Flyers don't play the game that gives the Rangers the biggest trouble. Like, when you have the defensemen that are constantly joining the play in the offensive zone, when you're breaking out four men all the time, that's the kind of a team that gives the Rangers the biggest fits, because Tortorella has no answer. He doesn't know what to do with that. I don't know, just stop them, please, is what he probably says. But,
well, the Rangers don't have... Well, yeah, and the other thing is that, you know, teams that have a lot of defense but that can move the puck well and can move the puck into the offensive zone, the Rangers' defense can't contend with that.
If the good Rangers come out, they can beat any team in the league. I am completely confident in that. If the good Rangers come out, we have seen them beat teams like Washington. We have seen them beat teams like Pittsburgh. We have seen them beat teams like Buffalo. If the good Rangers come out tomorrow, will be such a non-issue, it's not even funny.
Mm-hmm.
But if the bad Rangers come, or you know what, even if the okay Rangers come out, the Flyers are hungry. They're just as hungry as we are. And if we don't, if we're taking steps back, if we're on our heels early, they have defense problems. They do not have goal-scoring problems. They can get on you in a hurry. So the Rangers have to be prepared to play an all-out game, and, you know, not this safe-as-death mode, but understand that you can't come out flat. You just can't.
But I'll tell you what, in these two games, I actually like Erickson so much better over having Gilroy out there. I think that gives us a big upgrade against a team like the Flyers.
Well,
I agree with that.
You talk about how they can't come out flat. You know what? If they come out flat tomorrow night, they might as well just melt center ice and let them fall into the abyss, because there's no excuse for coming out flat tomorrow night.
But
I mean,
see,
there really
you know,
isn't. There are games where you can excuse them for coming out flat and not having emotion. If they come out flat tomorrow night, like, they might as well melt center ice and let them fall into the abyss, because there's no excuse. You know, they're going to bring out Amarante to Toupé to sing the national anthem. You're going to have 18,000 fans there going bananas. There's no excuse. There's no excuse to come out and play, you know, mediocre Ranger hockey.
For everything that everyone is saying about Tortorella, and I will say that I, for someone who is so excited about him coming to New York, I'm not pleased with what he's done here thus far. My biggest crack on Tortorella is that he does not get these guys geared up for big games. I don't know what it is, because he didn't have a problem with it in Tampa Bay, but for whatever reason, when they're a big game, the Rangers, like you said, we shouldn't have to be woken up to play the Islanders. Yet, out of the six games we played against the Islanders, we came out flat at least four of them. We may have won a couple of those games, but that is inexcusable. That falls on Tortorella, and you know where else that falls on? That falls on Drury. And this is not me bashing any of his statistical characteristics or his leadership ability. Well, actually, it is questioning his leadership ability a little bit. When the team comes out flat, yeah, it falls on the players. That's on the coach and the captains. Period. End of story. That is John Tortorella's job. The boys have to be ready to play every day. And if they're not, that's on you. And if you're having a problem reaching them, that's on the captain. Period. You don't have an excuse. So I agree with you. If they come out flat, they may as well just sit on the bench and let the Flyers go 5-0 on Lundqvist for a couple of minutes before forfeiting the game. There's no excuse for them to come out flat like that. And
jersey up their backs night, too. Don't forget that. They gave away their jerseys at the end of the game.
Oh, yeah. Some lucky fan's going to walk out of there with a Wayne Redden jersey tomorrow.
Exactly,
night.
Right?
If that happens, if the Rangers come out flat tomorrow, Lundqvist should snap his stick over his leg and just begin stabbing defensemen. Make sure it's not Stoll, Delzato, or Girardi and just go crazy. He should, because there is nothing. There is no excuse to come out flat, and they wouldn't deserve the playoffs if they did.
These are very likely scenarios you're throwing out, Joe.
You can make an argument that they don't deserve the playoffs now. We joke about it. There have been times where I have been worried for player safety because Henrik Lundqvist gets mad when he loses a game. He slams his stick, he throws things around, and who can blame him? He's passionate. But why aren't other players throwing their sticks?
He's worried about that?
Why aren't other players going crazy?
How about that headline? Rangers lose. Rangers lose. Lundqvist bludgeons Redden at center ice.
Fans go crazy.
That's
my problem. Tortorella, the only fire
Rangers
he has
lose
Tortorella is against the media.
Well, this is the thing, and this, I'm not going to belabor this point. The Rangers are so flawed in so many areas. I mean, the team is not a good team. So, of course, they're not going to get up for big games. They're a bad team. They don't have the personnel. They don't have the mental capacity to play well. It's the coach. It's the players. It's everything. Everything stinks.
Oh, I disagree with that hardcore because the Islanders don't have a good team.
Oh, the Rangers played brilliantly this year?
No. That's not what I'm saying. The Rangers have been a bad team. But bad teams have heart. The Islanders have heart. The Islanders play their asses off, game in and game out. This has nothing to do with...
How many points ahead of the Islanders were we?
But this has nothing to do... This has nothing to do with the Rangers being a flawed team.
As bad as the Islanders.
I get that, but even a bad team should get geared up for games. Having heart has nothing to do with having talent. It just doesn't. Heart is not the only reason why the Rangers have not been successful this year, but it's a damn big one. And if the Rangers can't get geared up for tomorrow's game, it's not because they're not good. It's not because they don't have the talent. It's because they simply don't care. And then they wouldn't deserve it.
You know
what? I don't think talent has to do with heart directly. I really don't.
I think they're lacking in everything. But you know what the real, know what the key is? Was that Sunday afternoon game with the Bruins. Going back about a month. When they had a chance, it was a 4-point game. And they didn't show up. They drove exactly what you said. They were a no-show in that game. And, again, but one thing I wanted, and maybe Mandar could speak to this a little bit more. Historically, the Rangers, I mean, they don't usually choke going into the playoffs. Like, they usually get the playoff position.
Right.
I mean, can we think about... I mean, you know, we always talk about the year the Devils beat us out and got into the playoffs for the first time. The Devils got in the playoffs for the first time. But usually, don't we make it in these situations and then get embarrassed?
And then get embarrassed.
I mean, we go by history. And plus, historically, haven't we done well against the Flyers? And I know in the 80s we were doing pretty well against them, and then I think we had – You know, I mean,
look back to last year, right? Look back to last year. They ended up in their home and home against them last year, and they won both games. right?
Right.
Remember that? Just last year. Now, again, you know, it's always been the same thing with the Flyers. You know, they, other than Pelle Lindbergh hitting a wall, they haven't had a battle-tested goaltender to lead them anywhere. And so
right.
That's their biggest problem. And to be honest, I mean, they could come out like gangbusters, but if Brian Boucher decides to, you know, if they're going to shoot everything into his chest or miss the net on many opportunities like they continue to do even when they're winning, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They can have the biggest heart in the world. If they don't go to the net and pounce on the rebounds, if they don't put pucks on net instead of wide, which is just killing them, then it doesn't matter.
Or their obsession with going in the corners.
Oh, my God. And the reversals. If I see them try to get to their own blue line and then put it back behind their own net one more time, I'd scream.
You know, Mega, you bring up a great point, which is basically a lot of Rangers fans are going, oh, well, the Flyers have an ECHL goaltender in that these games are going to be no problems. Let me tell you right now from experience, if you don't know already, the Rangers have made lesser goalies than Bouchard look like Patrick Waugh. Trust me,
Dan Ellis.
They can do it. They can easily do it. They could make me
any Atlanta goalie.
I promise you,
Mike,
they could if they
Mike
wanted
Brodeur.
To.
Yeah, right, Mike Brodeur.
Mike Brodeur.
Brodeur. I'd come in. I'd wear whatever jersey of the team I'm playing. They could make me look like Wah. I could be the best goalie in the world for 60 minutes against one team. I would go.
And you know what? Right, and those minor league goalies aren't making tremendous saves. They're just getting the pucks hitting them because the Rangers, for some reason, have lost the ability to pick corners or shoot low for rebounds. I mean, that's the biggest frustrating part of it is that way. And look, saw some of that last night after getting off to that big lead, and my God, if Michael Roosevelt can pass up a shot any more on a power play than he did the second period last night, I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. The Mike Brodeur's, and I saw that Dan Ellis made it. You know, Dan Ellis took like Jacques Plante when I saw him. I'm like, Dan Ellis.
Hey, Dad, if these guys aren't making the reaching glove saves or the desperation lunge saves like Miller made yesterday, they're just letting the puck hit them because they just have to be in regular position. But the key is going to be them getting in front of that. That's why Toro's got to realize that energy line of Anisimov and Prust and Shelley are effective in doing what they do. And that's that, you know, it's become our crash line that can get, you know, turn the tide. And it would work very well against the Carcillo line or any of those Hartnell or any of those other guys out there in the Flyers. Rangers have the toughness to stand up to them now. And that line's got to just outwork them. It's a matter of outworking them, and I think they can.
That
it's a matter of building.
That infuriates me, and what it is, and for anyone who is going to the game tomorrow, please listen to what I'm about to tell you. When the Rangers are on the power play, or anything, and they get the puck, say Gabbert's behind the net, and he throws the puck out to the point. If you listen, before the puck is even 10 feet by Roosevelt's stick, shoot, and you know what they do? The idiots on the ice listen. Hockey does not work that way. You don't just shoot and score. There are times when, and granted, there are times when they should shoot the puck.
They listen?
They do bring it upon themselves.
I don't think the point men are listening.
I've seen so many shooting lanes clogged up and Rangers just fire them into people's chests. If you're not going to hit the net, at least get it close. I am so sick of watching point men, and every single one of them is guilty of it.
You know what? You're not wrong on that, but the problem is that by the time they decide to shoot after having it, the lane is already clogged up. That means they're not that snap decision of getting the puck on net right away when the lane is there has been the problem.
Hey, Eddie, tell Joe and Mandar what Nick Fatuyu said about what's wrong with the Rangers power play.
Well, he said that the Rangers have the same look on the power play. They're so easily to defend. You just got to look at some basic film. He didn't even say you could break it down. And he said the Rangers are the most predictable power play he's ever seen. And what he would do is that each unit he would have a different look. Like the second unit is a total different setup style. But the Rangers are so conventional and so predictable that it really would just take basic tape to break it down and defend it.
Wait, you're telling me that Nick Infantino said that the Rangers should do what every other successful power play has ever done in the history of hockey and see if it works for them?
Because you think about it, they're 12th in the league on the power play, and it makes you wonder. I mean, they're in the top half of the league in the power play.
Look, I'll tell you how to defend the Rangers' power play right now. Pressure the point. End of story. If you pressure the point, they look like a chicken with their head cut off. They have no idea what to do. So pressure the point.
You know what, though? With their power play, yeah, they're 12th in the league, but it comes in waves. You know, 1 minute they're, you know, they'll go one night where they're 3-for-5 on the power play, and then they might go, you know, 3-for-30.
Yeah, exactly. No, I know.
Very streaky.
Well, again, it goes back to what Joe's been saying, too. It's like, you know, what team's going to go out there? Is it going to be the team that all of a sudden Michael Delzato lately, which I've liked, he's been actually looking to shoot a little bit more, which is something that is a change from what other teams prepare for, I think. But the part that I hate the most, they'll headman the puck to a guy at the other team's blue line, but there's nobody following them in the play. So when he gets into the zone, there's nobody to pass it to, and they key on him
right.
And clear. So they don't. They all have to be going at the same time, at the same direction. And too many times you get that big headman pass, but that's the only guy in the offensive zone.
Right.
Well, before I go, that's my little exit. What I'm calling for is this. Marion Gaborik steps out tomorrow, gets the hat trick. The next game, I can't predict because, Mandel, you had to return tonight. Now I'm talking about that loss. Coming, but listen, I hope you're right.
Go mouse.
No. Joe, give me your thoughts.
My prediction is if we make the playoffs, we will beat Washington. I really have no doubt in my mind that we will beat Washington for a variety of different reasons. I'm just letting
Stan
you know.
Stan Fischler.
Or even if, you know what, even if we don't beat Washington, it will be a good series. It won't be us just getting slapped around, because I think that if we beat Philadelphia twice, there's no hotter way to go into the playoffs. And Varlamov isn't going to recapture that magic he had last year. I think Washington had some serious problems at defense and in goaltending, and they put so much pressure on themselves. I really think the Washington Capitals expect Gary Bettman to walk out in the middle of the Verizon Center and give them the cup tomorrow. I really do. And that's not how it works, and the fans feel that way as well. So you're hearing it here first. I could be insane. I've said dumber things. I think that if the Rangers make the playoffs, it's going to be a great series, and they may. I really do think they'll win. But it will be a good series. It will not be a 4-0 romp. It will not be the Rangers getting blown out of the water. It will be a good series. I don't think
Washington
wants to play the Rangers. I don't. Because Lundqvist
gets upwards and onwards, Joe Fortunato. I am out of here like Vladimir. And take care, ladies and gentlemen. Good night. For me.
Take care, Eddie.
Good night, everybody. I'm going to go to dinner time.
All right, guys. Take care. We'll talk next week.
One last thing before we all go. Here it is.
I was kind of hoping you were going to do Oscar.
All right, good night, fellas.
Good night, guys.
Good night.